The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you, Brother Palmore. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, where the Bible says, "That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." Of course, we know that this is penned by the beloved John. And I want to speak to you this morning on becoming confident through fellowship. Becoming confident through fellowship. The beloved John knew, I believe, our Lord better, close up, than possibly any other apostle that did live. There was a time, according to my understanding, when there was 700 that followed the Lord, and then it went down to 500. They went from the 500 to the 120 in the upper room. Then it went from that to the 70, the 70 that he sent out two by two. And then it went from that to the 12. Those were called the apostles. And one of those was a traitor, Judas Iscariot. And so it went from the 12 to the 11. Went from the 11 to what we call the inner circle disciples, Peter, James, and John. And they were there many times with Christ. But when it came time to the cross, there was only one, and he was called John. The Lord referred to him many times as John the Beloved. John was the one that he looked down while on the cross, looked at his mother, looked at John. He told John, "Behold thy mother." So he gave John the responsibility of taking care of his own mother. So we understand that this man that we talk about this morning had a relationship with the Lord, fellowship, if you will, closer than possibly any other apostle that was known. God used him as a human instrument to be able to pen five books of the New Testament. You'll see in the Gospel of John that he talks about salvation through and through, most thoroughly, by the way. And so as we that are saved look at salvation, we can look at the past and remember the day that we received Jesus Christ as Savior. Then in the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you see that he talks about the presence. And in so doing, he talks about fellowshipping together, fellowshipping for the sake of the gospel, fellowshipping, if you would please, in the very work of God. And because of that, our confidence is built because you're not the Lone Ranger. You're out there ministering, serving, if you will. You're out there giving, if you will, the gospel as Christians ought to do. And because of that, you're not alone. Then you'll see in the book of Revelation, you'll see this. You'll see he talks about the future, about what is going to take place. Now, we understand this, that we understand that he had great confidence in Christ. And I do believe that he had great confidence in Christ because you see him always with Christ. Matter of fact, you'll see that normally a person will speak about a person that has influence in their life, and they speak about him often. And so you can see in John's life that he wrote about him often, I believe, because of the fact of the great influence that he had in his life. Matter of fact, John wrote this. He said, "That which is from the beginning." So what's he doing? He's talking about that which is his internality, if you would please. In other words, it is not something that's just eternal from this day for evermore, but is internality is from the beginning that always was with Christ, that is, for that which is evermore. And so we understand this. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." So John notices that which is the pre-existence of Christ. He understands, by the way, that there are those that did not believe in the pre-existence of Christ. And by the way, there's many cults out there today that do not believe in the pre-existence of Christ. And you can mark them down as being false prophets. You can mark them down as not knowing the scriptures because they do not believe in the pre-existence of Christ. Historically, we see this. The Bible says over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And the life was manifest." By the way, the word manifested simply means this. It simply means that it was made known unto us, or it was brought to light. So the Bible says here that for the life was made manifested, it says was manifested, and was seen it, it says, and we have seen it, now listen to it, and bear witness and show unto you eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested, again that word used, manifested unto us. And so I don't know about you, but I thank God that he was manifested unto me.
Amen.
I am so glad that somebody took a Bible one day and set me down, though I had a religious heritage and I understood the Bible stories. I did not understand the importance of receiving Christ as my Savior. But somebody set me down, they opened up a Bible, and they showed me my need of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. And when I understood the clarity of the gospel, I bowed my heart, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Can I tell you, that day, he was manifested unto me. Yesterday, I was out soul winning and went to Carlos. Carlos, where are you at, Carlos? Raise your hand. And I went to Carlos's door, and he had a relative that was visiting there at his house. And I knocked on the door, and I was just planning on making just a short visit. And there was a lady there. And I said, when I came by to see the family, because they've been coming to Sunday school. And I said, I'd like to talk to you about coming to Sunday school. Where do you go to Sunday school? And she said, oh, I don't. I said, well, where do you go to church? She said, well, I don't. I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? She said, I don't. But I'd like to. And I was able to pull out a gospel track, and that's what I had on me, and I was able to flip that to the other side and be able to show her her need of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. And with just in a little bit, she understood the clarity of the gospel, and she bowed her heart, and she asked Jesus Christ to be her Savior. Now, at that time, Christ became manifested unto her. She understood. It came to light. Now, can I tell you, every neighbor ought to have Christ made known unto them. Can I tell you, every relative ought to have Christ made known unto them. Everybody that comes by your door trying to sell a product ought to have Christ made known unto them. Every time the phone rings, you may think it's an accident. Oh, it's not an accident. And somebody called your number because God knew that you were a good steward of the gospel and that you were going to give them at least your testimony to bear witness about what Christ did inside of your life and inside of your heart. I think our job is to go about making Christ manifest unto everyone. I'm so excited that God has placed our church in the strategic area that God has placed our church. Do you realize that you can go right down here, take a ride out of the parking lot, go down here and get on 635 very quickly, or connect, if you will, onto 20 from there, onto 80 from there. You realize you can be in downtown Dallas 11 minutes from our front door, or 11 miles from our front door, depending on traffic, 11 minutes, or it might take you 31, or it might take you 42 or 4 days. But we're close to the downtown Dallas area. And do you realize that people come here, we have people here that have traveled in. I remember the Crutchers first started coming here. They lived in Gun Barrel City. I never knew that there was a place called Gun Barrel City. Always wanted to go there, see if people were having those old-fashioned shootouts in the streets, you know. And but we have people that travel here from Terrell. We have people that travel here from over in Sachse. We have people that travel here from the other side of Dallas. We have people that travel here from all different places. And can I tell you, it's a good place to come. Why? Because in this place, Christ is going to be made known. And it's important that we do that in church. But can I tell you, friend, it's also important we do that outside of church. You know, it doesn't hurt to be able to take the gospel and share that with somebody that you have a desire to be able to help. And can I tell you, historically, that's the way that it has been. And for the present, that's the way it ought to be. And for the future, that's the way it always should be. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16, the Bible says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received, it says, up into glory. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory, it says, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, John knew what it was to be able to see him. John knew what it was to be able to hear him. John knew what it was to be able to touch him. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, you'll read these words as Peter records this. He says, we are witnesses of his majesty. All right? Now, wait a minute. We understand that we, even ourselves, are witnesses of the wonderful works of Christ and what Christ has done in us at the very split second of salvation. I don't know where I'd be today if it would not be for Christ. I don't know what type of a lady I would have married if it would not have been for Christ. I don't know what type of children we would be raising today if it would not be for Christ. I don't know where I'd be living today if it would not be for Christ. I don't know about all the things that God has allowed me to do if it would not been for the wonderful majesty's name of Christ and what Christ has done by receiving me, if you would, as one of his children, as I received him as my Savior. Years ago, there was a 6-year-old little girl. Her name was Molly. And Molly went to her mama, and Molly said, oh, mama. She said, my stomach hurts so bad, mama. Oh, my stomach hurts so bad. And mama said, I know what's wrong with you, Molly. Your stomach hurts so bad because you have an empty stomach. Molly, you need to go and put something in that stomach. If you put something in that empty stomach, your stomach won't hurt anymore, Molly. And the evening came and the evening went and it was almost time for bed. And Mom was sitting over there and she had tears coming down her face. And Molly got concerned. And Molly, only age 6, went over to Mama. And Molly, age 6, went over to Mama and said, Mama, why is it that you got tears coming down your face? And Mama said, honey, Molly, my head, it hurts so bad. I just don't know what to do. My head hurts so bad. And Molly, being a 6-year-old little girl, said, well, Mama, it's because it's empty. If you put something in it, it won't hurt so bad. Now, can I tell you, statement number one, we see the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where fellowship starts. You know, people have empty lives. You know, people that are out there and they're religiously joined to a religious institution or organization without Christ still has an empty life. You know, you can go home today and you can read a book about religion and still have an empty life. You know, you can be baptized 42 times one way and 42 times the other way in some type of deep water and still have an emptiness in your life because you are empty without Jesus Christ. You know what this world needs? Our world does not need a different type of religion, and our world does not need a different type of government. Our world needs Jesus Christ. Now, I'm saying this morning. I'm saying there's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you? That's where true fellowship begins. You and I have something in common. I love spending time with believers. I really do. Yesterday, Brother Wislowski is out in the hallway, and I said, Brother Wislowski, even though you drink Maxwell House coffee, I said, what are you doing this afternoon? And he said, well, I'm pretty well finished up with my visits. And I said, how about going with me? Would you go with me? And he said, where are you going? I said, I really need to get over there and see Mrs. Stead. And I finished up a lot of my follow-up visits and soul winning stuff. I said, but I just want to go spend a little bit of time with Brother and Mrs. Stead. And I said, I haven't seen Brother Bulkley and Mrs. Bulkley in quite some time. I said, I want to go and spend some time with Brother and Mrs. Bulkley that used to be the music director here under Dr. May. And I said, could we do that? And so we got in the car, and you know, all the way over there to the Broadmoor over in Rockwall, we fellowshipped. We had good fellowship. I mean, we enjoyed spending time together. And then I was able to take Dr. Bulkley some gifts, some CDs that our college had done and my family had done, and some preaching CDs and stuff like that. And he was just so happy. And he was sitting there in his recliner rocking chair with his gray leather boots on. And I said, can I sit on your bed? He said, you can sit on the bed. And I sat on the bed. And boy, we just had good old-fashioned fellowship. Now, can I tell you, you can fellowship with people that are saved because you have something in common. Right. You say, but I don't have everything in common. You don't need everything in common. You can thank God that you're saved. You say, well, we don't look alike. And most people say, thank God for that. But you can fellowship. You can enjoy the company of each other. You say, but he doesn't tell funny jokes. Well, that's okay. Well, you know, I get bored by the stories, but that's okay. But you don't understand, preacher. There's things that bother me about so-and-so. That's okay. You know, you can overlook a lot of things if you love them for who they are, and you love them because of who made them who they are, and that's Jesus Christ. There's just something about fellowshipping with God's people. And we have many of our dear friends are in Louisiana, you know. And so yesterday, my wife was telling me about all the flooding that was going on and stuff like that. And we'd come in late from visiting, and it was about 7 o'clock or so. And so I told my wife, and I said, now I need to get on the phone and start calling my Louisiana pastor friends and just checking on them. And so, you know, I called them, and we talked, and I tried to be a little bit of encouragement, as many of them are underwater in the Baton Rouge area and in the, so many other, the Denham Springs area and stuff like that. Now, can I tell you, though, I was able to call them because I got saved one day, and they got saved one day, and God put us going down the same path, and because I got saved, I preached in many of their churches, and I made friends with them simply because of the fact of Christ. See, in Christ, good. Hey, you're here today because of Christ. You got to see somebody smile today because of Christ. We got to sing the songs of Zion this morning because of Christ. You get to sit beside your dear wife that never would have been your dear wife had it not been for Christ. I'm saying that Christ is the reason for our fellowship. Statement number one. Statement number two, I'm saying the person of Jesus Christ. He's the one for fellowship. Statement number two, there's the privilege of fellowship. Privilege. You know, you can have fellowship in front of you, but not do it? You ever been around somebody and you're trying to talk to them and all they do is stare at you? I mean, you're trying to smile at them and they don't smile back. You're trying to tell them a joke and you thought it was the funniest joke in all the world that you could ever tell, and they did not think it was funny and they did not laugh. You know, I appreciate Brother Salazar. I really do. He and his precious family, all of them. And Mrs. Salazar, her first name Sylvia, like my wife's first name Sylvia. They've got that in common, and that's why we go out and we're going to eat hamburgers after church or something. But and Elizabeth and the little one. Now, can I tell you this? But he stands out here by this door right over here, and I'm being honest with you. I like going through that door coming into church. Yeah. I like it. I'm going to tell you why I like it, because he's there. Yeah, that's why I like it. I look forward to every Sunday morning shaking Brother Salazar's hand. I'll come in early, and I'm here when the buses are pulling out and stuff like that, and then I'll leave to go pick up my visitors, and I'll come back in, and like I did today, I went out and picked up Carlos, and he came, and I came back in today, and by the time I got back in, Brother Salazar was there. He's got that big old Christian cheesy grin. I mean, it goes from earlobe to earlobe, and what a way to start off Sunday. I mean, instead of having some old grump answer the door, you know, I mean, here he is, and he's Brother Walters, he stands there, he extends that hand of blessing, hello. And man, I walk in that door, he holds the door for me like I'm 102. But it's all because of Christ. It's all because of Christ. Look, I'm not a great preacher, and we don't necessarily have a great church, but I tell you, we have a great God.
Yep.
And Christ is the one that's the one that's magnified around here. And the reason that we run buses like we run buses because of Christ. And the reason that we have, I think, last count, 90-some Sunday school classes. Hey, that's because of Christ. And the reason that we have the different choirs and all that we do is because of Christ. And can I tell you, he's a wonderful one to start our fellowship. Statement number one. Statement number two, there's that privilege of fellowship. Just because you have fellowship before you does not mean necessarily that you get involved. Come on. Hey, let me give you a hint. If somebody writes you, write them back. If somebody texts you, text them back. If somebody emails you, email them back. Ready? If somebody smiles at you, smile back. If somebody extends a hand of blessing to shake your hand, extend the hand of blessing. Don't be a snob. Extend the hand of blessing to shake their hand. If somebody wants to sit beside you, don't run. Don't run. Don't run. You say, well, they smell. Well, you know, you don't have to put your nose in the same direction, just your body. John chapter 3 and in verse 6, the Bible says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. John chapter 3 and verse 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Boy, I'll be honest with you. I love being a Christian. I mean, I love being a Christian. I'm so glad I'm saved. I love being a Christian. I love being able to fellowship with God's people. I love being able to pray with God's people. I love being able to share prayer requests with God's people. I love being able to come to church and see you. I love that. That makes my day. I love that. I love being able to go out door knocking with some of you that want to go door knocking. I love that. I just think that that's the cat's meow. I don't like cats as much. But I think that that's wonderful is what it is. And so I'm saying this. I'm saying that fellowship, we can fellowship because of salvation, but then we fellowship and it's a continuum. I was over in Cambodia and I was staying in a hotel and we didn't have any air. And I was staying in a hotel, no air. At that time when I was traveling to Cambodia, my money is very tight. And I went to give the gospel. And so you just do what you got to do. And so I was staying in a hotel and had no air whatsoever. And every morning they had a breakfast place where you could go down and buy breakfast. Now the breakfasts there are quite different than our breakfasts. You know, they'll do soups and stuff and noodles and stuff like that. And that's why they're so skinny. But I went down to buy breakfast, and every single morning there was a Buddhist nun that was there. Every single morning, Buddhist nun, and I had an interpreter with me, and so I started to talk to this Buddhist nun every single morning, and I started to ask her questions about her faith and why she believed what she did believe. And I got her curiosity up, and then I started talking about Christ and who Christ is. And you know, by the end of the week, that little Buddhist nun had bowed her heart and received Christ as Savior. Now, can I tell you, listen to me, I'm saying this. I'm saying that when you introduce Christ, when you manifest Him, you'll be surprised what He can do in somebody's life to be able to change somebody's life. There was a British author, and the British author was always sad. Always said. Matter of fact, let me tell you what he did. And he would pay a boy to stand on the corner when he would get in the car and wave goodbye at him. Because he said, I need a friend and nobody wants to be my friend, so I'll pay somebody. By the way, that's an idea. If you need a friend and you can't have a friend, just give somebody money. They'll be your friend. But can I tell you, you and I, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, he says, lo, I'm with you always. So we don't have to pay somebody to be our friend. We have that which is a permanent friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Many years ago, there was the first king of Israel. And the first king of Israel, as he reigned, he gathered men around him. Matter of fact, over in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 26, it reads this. The Bible says, and Saul went to Gilboa. And it says, and there went with him a band of men, says, whose hearts God had touched. Now, I like that because you know why we're in church today? We're in church today because whose hearts God has touched. Come on, you could have went to any type of outfit this morning you wanted to, but you chose to come to Parkside Baptist Church. You know why? Because whose hearts that God has touched. Come on. And I was thinking just a little bit ago, and I was thinking about different ones that's come to our church. It's been a marvelous, marvelous thing about different ones that's come to our church. And I was thinking of Kelly and Joy back here today. And they went to a car wash, just a car wash. And I love this. And in the car wash, they found one of our Bible tracts that somebody put in a car wash. Somebody put in the car wash. They picked that thing up, and they've been coming to our church ever since. Just because somebody put that thing in there. Now, can I tell you, listen, you will be amazed at the privilege of that fellowship and to fellowship daily with Him. The Bible talks about how those had gathered men around them, such as Saul, as I mentioned a moment ago, the first king of Israel. And he purposely gathered. Why? Because they had a heart like his. Had a heart like his. Look, I guarantee this. You might not know everything that I know about baseball. And you might not know everything I know about football. And you might not know everything that I know about guns. And you might not know everything about cleaning animals. You might not know everything about planting in different fields and different types of crops and when to rotate. You might not know everything about writing a book. You might not know everything about this, that, or the other. And by the way, I don't know all that much about that stuff either. But one thing for sure, you and I can have fellowship around Christ. See, I can come up to you and say, hey, look, God's been good to me. How's God been to you? And you'll be able to tell me something. I can go up to you and say, hey, look, I went down to old Parkside Baptist Church. That church has been a lighthouse for many years here in the Mesquite or the Dallas metro area. And I went down to that church, and boy, that preacher, he got up, and from time to time he'd shout. And you could say, yeah, I was there when he did that too and scared me to death. But, you know, we have fellowship together. I'm saying this. I'm saying that how is it that you and I can have our confidence built? Well, by becoming confident through fellowship. You know, it encourages people when you're here. Amen. It does. Every time I see you, my face lights up. You know, now, by the way, I'm going to tell you what's something I do. I cheat. You have a pastor that cheats. I'm going to tell you what I do. I'm up here. Oftentimes, you'll see me up here before I preach. And you'll see me writing down stuff. And I'll be writing down stuff here. I'll be writing down stuff. I cheat. Here's what I do. I cheat. Don't tell nobody, but I cheat. And here's what I'm doing. I'm writing down members' names that are not here. So I thought you were studying your Bible. Well, yeah, I've done that too. But I'm writing down members' names that are not here. You know why? Because sometime this afternoon, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray for them. Because they need to be in church. Hey, this is where you're going to get your strength. This is your gas station for your gas. This is going to help you to make it through the week and do right. You know, and if the preacher doesn't care enough about members to pray for them, then who in the world will? I can't put it on my deacons. They're too busy drinking coffee. I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, here it is, and I'm done. Okay? I'm saying that we have fellowship in Jesus Christ. Statement number one. We have the privilege. There's the person of Jesus Christ. There's the privilege of fellowship. Let me give you one last thought, and I'm done. There's the product of our fellowship. Now, what is that? That's joy. That is joy. You know, let me tell you something that gives a pastor joy. Can it help you out a little bit? Let me tell you something. It gives me joy when God's children are walking in truth. It gives me joy. It gives me joy when some of you have gone the extra mile, and yes, it is the extra mile in your life, and I'm proud of you, but it gives me joy when you have gone the extra mile in your Christian growth, and you come to church on Sunday night. That gives me joy. It gives me joy when you show up on Wednesday night. I get joy out of that. I get joy when all of a sudden a child will text me by way of permission from their parents and say, Pastor, I want you to know I got a visitor because I gave them a card. They call them a card. I gave them a card, and they came to church, and they're going to come to church. That gives me joy. Hey, it gives me joy all of a sudden when I'm preaching and you're not sleeping. That gives me joy. Hey, it gives me joy all of a sudden when I'm preaching and say, hey, that's what the Bible says. That's what we're supposed to do. And some of you men shout amen. Amen. That gives me joy. You know, it gives me joy when I see somebody walk down the aisle here and they bow their heart and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Oh, what a joy it is to be here. I'm in charge of one of the soul winning times. We have about 7 or 8 here that we have soul winning different times throughout the week. I'm in charge of one of them. And one of those times I'm in charge of is on Saturday morning. And we'll have 100 plus, 130 something yesterday, I think, but 100 plus. And we'll have about 200 soul winners go out all week long. Oh, boy, can I tell you? Oh, what joy that is. Gives me joy all of a sudden when a young person or an older person, I had one of the men, he's been here, Brother Cordova came up to me last year, and he said, new believer, by the way, last year, and he said, preacher, he said, I read the Bible all the way through. What joy. He's already come to me about this year. And what joy to see people to walk in truth. What a joy. What a joy it is for, I have a young man call me up last night. He said, preacher, I want you to know. He said, I've got some decisions I made in my life. He said, I've been tithing 15%. He said, I've been doing that since a little while, and he named the years, but he said, I've been doing that a little while. He said, 15%, and he started testifying on the phone. He said, let me tell you how good God's been to me. College-age young person or so, and, well, a young professional now, but let me tell you how good God's been to me. And that gives me joy to know that God is blessing and proving himself in that young man's life. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying there's the product of our fellowship. Isaiah chapter 12 and in verse 3, the Bible says, therefore, it says, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. John speaks of this over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4. The Bible says, and these things write I unto you that your joy may be full. Over in the book of Psalm 119 and verse 97, the Bible says, how love I thy law, it says. It is my meditation all day long. So I can have joy in my salvation. I can have joy in the scriptures as I meditate in the scriptures. Let me give you one last thing. I can have joy in watching people come to know Christ as Savior. Boy, what a joy. What a joy. Boy, I tell you what, I'm so tickled that there was a day I got saved. Amen. Woo! I'm so tickled about that. You know, I'm so tickled that other people have come to know Christ as Savior. I'm so tickled that we can fellowship together, and I'm so tickled we can fellowship around that which is Jesus Christ. He is the reason for our fellowship. I'm so tickled that we can have fellowship together. If we choose to have it, we can have it, and it's right there, and we can talk about the things of God, and I'm so tickled about that which is the product of fellowship. What is that? Joy. Let me give you one last illustration. There was a missionary to Africa, and she met an elderly lady one day, and she gave her the gospel. The elderly lady understood the gospel, and she bowed her heart, received Christ as Savior. But this dear old elderly lady was a blind woman. She couldn't see, and she couldn't write. Because she couldn't see, she couldn't read. Because she couldn't write, of course, she was way behind the times in her educational ability. But she said to this missionary lady the day after she got saved, she said, can you get me a Bible? And the missionary woman said, yeah, I can get you a Bible. But why do you want a Bible? You can't read. Oh, she said, I just feel like I need a Bible. Will you get me a Bible? And so the missionary lady got her a Bible and said, would you turn to John 3:16 and mark the page? John 3:16 and mark the page. And she said, yeah. She said, would you underscore or would you highlight John 3:16 so that when I turn to the mark page, that verse kind of stands out? She said, I will. So she went out and she bought her a French Bible because in that part of the region, they spoke French. She was kind of curious. What in the world does this elderly, blind lady that cannot see, what did she want with a Bible? She couldn't read. What'd you want with a Bible? Why did she want a Bible? I mean, what in the world? And so she thought, I'm going to follow her and see what she does with that Bible. So that elderly woman took that Bible and tucked it up underneath her arm. And she went down to where the school kids were getting out of school. And she stopped the kids. And they would stop because, I mean, after all, she was a blind lady. She couldn't see. And maybe they had a little bit of pity. I don't know. But she stopped the kids. And she would say, now, which one of you touch my hand? Which one of you can read and read well? And the one would touch the hand, said, all you, come over here, come over. She'd get kids all around her. And she'd say that one that could read the Bible well and read it out loud. She'd say, now you read that verse down there that is underlined, that verse down there that's highlighted. Read that verse nice and loud. And so they'd read John 3:16, and she would begin after that to tell what Jesus did for her. When she told what Jesus did for her, listen to me now, you say, oh, that's not important. Oh, let me tell you the rest of the story. Out of those that got saved on the front steps of that public school, 24 of them went out and pastored churches. You say, oh, come on, preacher. What is that called? I'll tell you what it's called. It's called product. There's great joy. Great joy. I was youth director many years ago, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, youth director, Central Baptist Church, 8 years. My family and I served there on staff with Dr. C.R. Williams. I had a large youth department, many, many teenagers that came. And I look out, and there's this boy right here, and I'll be honest with you, there's a couple of them, but there's a boy right here, and I thought, boy, he's not going to do anything for God. He's shy. He's to himself. He'll never amount to much. You know, but you know that boy's pastoring today, doing a great job serving Christ. See, you can't judge a book by its cover. But what we can do is we can read the contents and inside of every Christian, the reason that we have good fellowship and confidence is because of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on. You ought to leave here with a smile on your face today saying, boy, God is good. God is just so good. It's because of the goodness of God today I'm going to heaven. It's because of the goodness of God today I'm saved. It's because you say, oh, but preacher, I've got so much trouble. But you can rejoice and God has been good to you. And because of that, there's good fellowship. And we have confidence in that fellowship. Father, bless, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.